Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Thursday's show, Ryan Leaf, former NFL quarterback, will be joining us. I don't know if you had a chance to, get online and read the Ross Dellinger piece, Sports Illustrated piece today. I think you should. It's really good, and it really gets into boosters bankrolling teams through NIL, bidding wars, six-figure salaries, private flights, free cars. All of the collectives out there, including Division Street Collective that feeds into the University of Oregon, or the Cougar Collective that is helping Washington State get a player at quarterback, that like Cameron Ward, all of this part of the college landscape. Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated did a fantastic job kind of laying it out. He's joining us now to talk about it. What kind of sparked your interest in writing this?
Well, John, how it is. You're a reporter. When you you're deep into a sport or an industry, and you hear the scuttle, from coaches, from ADs, and then I guess my situation is a little different. I live in Washington D.C., and so I have been around this whole NIL issue on Capitol Hill and covering it, and covering the Senate stuff, and all the hearings. So I was pretty connected to the, not just the ADs and the coaches, but the NIL world. And so I thought, man, this it's getting really interesting, right? And it kind of everything kind of came to a head, it felt like, with the Miami situation in the basketball. And I thought, it's about time for me to take this file where I've been collecting stuff for 6 months or so and write a story.
Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated, is with us. You recently posted about 3 hours ago about a task force that could help regulate the NCAA. What are we talking about here? Are we talking about just holding individual schools to the NCAA rules?
That's basically it, right? Yeah, I mean, this is a set of guidelines that the NCAA is going to release that is kind of in addition to their interim NIL policy that's very vague that they released last summer. And the guidelines will basically say, schools, remember that we have rules that have been on the books for decades that say boosters cannot be involved in recruiting. It's almost a reminder, kind of a shot across the bow of this industry right now, where we are obviously seeing some pretty obvious inducements, happening. And so it's just kind of a reminder, I think, more than anything. And I think college officials, and as John, your listeners probably don't necessarily, the NCAA gets blasted as the NCAA and everything's the NCAA, but as you probably know, the NCAA, all they do is enforce the rules that the conference leaders and school administrators create. And so this is conference leaders and school administrators getting together in hoping that this list of guidance can do two things. One, remind schools, get control of your boosters. They can't be involved in recruiting. And that includes collectives that are run by boosters. And number two, maybe it'll kick in the pants of the NCAA and get them to start enforcing things.
The booster that you brought up, the Miami booster, John Ruiz, is a lawyer in Miami. He's got like 111 Hurricane athletes on his payroll. Ross, I covered Tark back in the day as a columnist when he was in Fresno, and I got to think Tark is somewhere out there rolling over in his grave going, this is what we were doing all along. Like, Like, you know, what reaction did you get as you started to talk to people who had been in college athletics for years?
That's the thing that comes up quite a bit, right? Is 10, 20, 30 years ago, look what we were doing, and this would be legal today kind of sort of thing. And it's funny because after that story ran yesterday, I got a text last night from somebody who said, Ross, you don't even have to go back 30 years or 10 years. Look at the University of Tennessee and Jeremy Pruitt and what happened to him just a couple of years ago. That's all you have to go back. It's just a year or two ago to find this going on and it being deemed illegal and there being violations. And, hey, let's take the Adidas stuff 5 years ago. FBI investigations and all this stuff, and now Adidas is in the NIL game. College sports is changing rapidly, right? I mean, it is an evolution. It's almost like NIL is a microcosm of the change in college sports. You know, NIL has evolved from star players and social media stars that are in college athletics getting pretty big deals to crowdfunding type online digital stuff happening and paying players four and five figures to boosters getting involved, and then two boosters, all multiple boosters forming groups to basically pay salaries to players. So it's evolved very, very quickly.
Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated, is with us. If the NCAA does release or set up a task force or get involved here and draw a line in the sand, how difficult will it be to enforce? I mean, we just saw Kansas win a national championship in basketball, cut down the nets while there's, pending penalties for violations that occurred in the last few years. It just feels like the NCAA may not be equipped for this.
Well, there was some confusion when that story dropped about three or four hours ago. On the guidance that's coming down, people kind of approach me here in Scottsdale like, aren't these rules on the books that say boosters cannot be involved in recruiting? And I said, yes, this is just a reminder. And the real issue here isn't that there are not rules or rules. It's enforcing rules. And as someone told me, is a rule if it's not enforced? Mm-hmm. And I don't know, and it's not being enforced. And it's not being enforced for two reasons. Number one, the NCAA short staff, they've had layoffs during COVID and all that. I don't think the enforcement staff is at the full capacity like it had been previously. But the real big reason, right, is the antitrust issue, where if you start enforcing some of this stuff, you're going to lead yourself into lawsuits against very wealthy, savvy businessmen that are boosters. And it's the same reason that last summer, the NCAA abandoned their NIL policy, the more permanent policy that would have prohibited booster involvement in NIL. And they abandoned it because they want to be sued. And I think now, as Bob Bowlesby told me here, I think they realized that was a mistake.
Yeah, I look back and I go, gosh, they would have been, I think a quote you had is they would have been infinitely better off that Bowlesby told you. They were trying to get away from that litigation. We've all seen over the years there are some programs that follow the rules and some that don't. Is there confidence that if this reminder from the NCAA will be taken seriously, or are some people rolling their eyes going, the genie's out of the bottle?
Yeah, genie's out of the bottle, right? Horses out of the barn, toothpaste out of the tube. That's the analogy I've gotten here from people in Scottsdale. I don't know, and I don't think they know. Will the NCAA really take this seriously? Will they start investigating deeply? We know they've sent letters of inquiries, did some inquiries to Miami and BYU, and honestly, it's going to be hard with state laws. It's something we hadn't talked about here, but it's very, very important for sure, is these boosters and these collectives, number one, they're kind of protected by state laws. That allow this to happen. In number two, they've got receipts, so to speak. They've got the documentation to prove that these were quid pro quos and they were in line with their state laws. So it's going to be really tough. I'll be honest. These guidelines, I think more so are something done to remind schools to try to rein in their boosters. Here's the thing. If every school doesn't rein in its booster, even one out there that doesn't do it, and a booster's still going off and making NIL deals, guess what? It's not going to last because everybody's going to follow suit. And that's what we're seeing right now in the NIL world, is that everybody's kind of following suit. It's kind of the old, oh, this is terrible, we shouldn't be doing this. Oh, but we're doing it because our rival school is doing it, and we'd lose players if we weren't.
Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated, is with us. I'm a little bit worried about, you know, what happens to college athletics. You know, in the state of Oregon, we've got, you know, Portland State that plays, you know, they'll play Oregon and Oregon State in given years, but, you know, we all know they're not the same. What do you think is going to happen to the landscape of college athletics in the next 5-6 years?
Well, John, yeah, you probably know this, but we've been heading toward some kind of divide or seismic kind of split among college athletics for a while now. And I think with each passing year, month, and now these days, seems like every day, we get closer and closer to that divide. The Transformation Committee, some of the things, the concept that they're coming out with, all it's going to do is have the have and have nots have a wider gap between them. It's going to create a wider gap there. This NIL, right? The biggest boosters, the biggest donor bases, the schools with all that, and that's the top level. That's the richest schools already. So it's just going to keep creating gaps. And look, I think we're bound for something that Jack Swarbrick at Notre Dame mentioned a couple weeks ago to my colleague Pat Forty. We're bound for some kind of professionalized college football, at least, if not college basketball, where the top 20, 30, 40 schools split off and do their own thing. It feels like we've been going that direction for a while, and it feels like we're evolving very quickly into something like that.
You're in D.C. We had Senator Ron Wyden on this show a couple weeks ago, and he said he thought that name, image, likeness needed congressional oversight. Do you think we will get intervention by lawmakers?
Unlikely. It's certainly not this year. I'm working with another NIL story for tomorrow that kind of looks into that a little bit, talking to some senators and lawmakers on the Hill to get an idea of, what can they do. And, the response is, we have bigger fish to fry. The NCAA and college sports can take care of itself right now. So I think, especially with midterm elections, and you know how that goes, John, with midterm elections, anytime you're on an election year, not a whole lot gets done in Congress. And I think that's the case with this situation. My wife actually is a political reporter, so I got a little insight into how a lot of that works. And it's pretty obvious we're not getting anything done in this year. So it'll have to be next year. And several people in college football have told me, in a way, it would be best, actually, with some if the Republicans actually, and this is a big issue, and it's going to be a midterm election issue, that the Republicans can take back Congress. They're going to want a more streamlined NIL bill that might have a better chance of passing next year than maybe a more broad NIL bill that includes some healthcare stuff that the Democrats want. So this midterm election actually really big for college athletics.
That is fascinating to me. Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated, with us. Read his piece on NIL. He had a couple of posts here in the last couple of days. Plus, you should be following him on Twitter as well. Ross, let me ask you, Mark Emmert stepping down with the NCAA, what's the right kind of president? What does the NCAA need?
Man, everybody keeps asking, who the NCAA needs. And for me, it's the question isn't who, it's what. You know, what is the NCAA? What is it going to be? What's the role? What authority do you have, if anything at all? I don't know. I know it's not, honestly, how many people have already come forward and declined the job privately or publicly? It's probably a dozen or so from what I understand. So I don't know how many people want the job. The NCAA is losing its authority and power, and it's got that name, right? The four letters that people just kind of scowl at. And I'm not sure anybody wants that job. So it'll be interesting to see. Whoever it is has to know that you're going into a job that has very little authority, but takes all the blame, basically. In any little missteps, you will be held accountable, and Mark Emmert certainly made a lot of them.
I said this the other day when I was you know, talking about the Miami basketball situation and Ruiz, and I said, you know, everybody, I hate this, but I also think it's necessary if we're going to get change. We need to have, like, the situation with Pitt and USC right now with a wide receiver in the portal and everybody going, well, they're tampering, and we need a booster who's got 100-plus athletes on the payroll. Like, we need to come all the way off the rails in order to have correction. Am I oversimplifying there?
No, I think you're right, and it's something Lead One, the organization that represents the FBS athletic directors, Tom McMillan is their CEO, and he's a former congressman himself, and he has said that to me, it must be for the last 2 years. He said that to me, I feel like, once a month, is we need chaos to lead to action. And, you know, we are, we're heading toward that, right? In the Miami situation, it's funny you mentioned that. Earlier here in Scottsdale, I was talking to an athletic director who mentioned that he had hoped that the Miami situation got a little more dramatic just to have chaos, because he knows that's the only way to get action from the federal government.
I think it's fantastic. Ross Dellinger, you're doing a great job with this. I appreciate you joining us. I know you had a busy day. You're doing a bunch of appearances, but keep doing what you're doing. And give us a little preview. You got another piece coming out tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow, just kind of on the scene here, kind of answering the question, can this happen? Can the NCAA enforce stuff? Will there be lawsuits? A little deeper dive into this news that we had earlier today.
Love it. Ross, thank you for making time. I appreciate you and love your work.
Yeah, thanks, John.
There he is, Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated. If you haven't read his piece, read it. It is the Rosetta Stone, so to speak, on what is wrong. And if you don't already know, there's something wrong in college athletics. And I'm not confident that everybody will follow the rules. I don't know. Maybe I've just been here too long. Leave it here. You got the BFT statewide.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
You know what I hate about all the NIL transfer portal discussion? I hate that it's not really sports. And I suspect you don't like it either. I suspect people are tired of hearing about it, talking about it. It's not sexy. It's not glamorous. It's not the escape that sports is supposed to be. And I think that's part and parcel why you know, people aren't more fired up about it. The coaches are mad about it. The ADs are mad about it. Sports radio show hosts and writers are all fired up and focused on it. I just don't think people are that into it. I don't think that they are outraged. I don't think that, you know, it's hard to be outraged because we saw college kids exploited for years, and you can argue whether or not the college education was worth, you know, the scholarship and worth the time and effort and energy that they put into it, but you can't argue that college athletes were at a disadvantage relative to college coaches who could jump around and let the market set what they earn. And, you know, we have a professional sports league that we always held up as the destination for college athletes. But the truth is, you know, the vast majority of college football players do not get to play in the NFL. I looked up the stats the other day during the draft. There were more than 1 million high school football players. 1 million. It was 1.1 million high school football players last high school season. There are 70,000 college football players. And then of those 70,000 every year, what do we have? 238 that go to the draft, plus undrafted players and free agents. There's approximately 1,000 players each year that try to make the jump from college athletics into the NFL, and roughly 300 make it. Your odds of going from a high school football player to the NFL, it's less than 1%. We know that. But here's a stat that I found when I was researching how unlikely it is for you to go from high school to the NFL. Here's a fact. 50% of high school football players who participate in high school football for 4 years in their high school, okay, 50% of you, if you're one of those, will never play alongside an NFL player, nor will you play against an NFL player. 50% of high school athletes who suit up in high school football games will never share a field with somebody who goes to the NFL. Think about that. That kind of, for me, blew me away a little bit and framed how unlikely or unusual it is for somebody to make the jump from high school to college to the NFL. And so I guess the thinking is that, you know, we held up college athletics and that scholarship that you got as, hey, it's a, you have a chance to go get a college degree. That's valuable. In today's world, at your typical public school, you know, it's we're talking $120,000, $150,000, you know, item there, asset, so to speak, you know, that equates with getting that college education. The problem is the vast majority of those players are putting in long hours, can't work part-time jobs, are benefiting their university in a way that is not equitable with the $120,000 to $150,000 scholarship. So name, image, likeness comes onto the scene. Lawmakers in states across the country suddenly legalize the ability for these players to gain income from their endorsement or market themselves. And we go, okay, that's cool. You can go cut a deal after you're a college athlete. Well, what we didn't anticipate, and they didn't anticipate, were boosters getting involved. And maybe they were naive. And maybe some of this is we thought kids would wait until they got to college before they sought out name, image, likeness deals. But the truth of the matter is, where there is money, there will be corruption. And when there is money like there is money for the $10 billion NCAA tournament and the $20 billion college football playoff, you're going to have widespread, rampant competition, corruption, people painting outside the lines, everybody rubbernecking to go, what is Oregon doing? What is USC doing? What is Alabama doing? What is LSU doing? We have to do what they do or we can't keep pace. I think we are now looking at the wheels being off. It happened faster than I thought it would. I thought it was going to take 8 months to a year. I think we are like, you know, 8 days away from massive change with the NCAA coming out with a reminder and then probably coming out and maybe investigating somebody or making an example out of somebody. That's kind of how the NCAA works. So keep an eye on that. I know it's not sexy. It's not what I want to be talking about. It's not what you want to be hearing about. You want to hear highlights. And I think like tomorrow's show, I might just do that. I might just start the show tomorrow at 3 o'clock by playing all the best highlights that I can find because I am so sick of talking about stuff that has nothing really to do with the actual competitions and everything to do with the corruption that happens when you invite money and new laws and new rules into your college athletics. It's not fun. It's not joyful. It's not the escape that you and I thought it was going to be. We'll talk about that tomorrow on the show. All right, I want you to keep it here on 750 The Game in Portland as Peter Sampson and The Pulse are coming up. If you're somebody who loves sports, loves the joy in sports, I want you to visit a website for me right now. I want you to go to worldsofsport.com. That's worldsofsport.com. Go there and find out about the fan-facing convention coming to the Oregon Convention Center June 18th and 19th, Father's Day weekend. You can go into the convention center with your family. You can have esports. You can shoot a basket with the Blazers. You can be on a soccer pitch with the Timbers and the Thorns. You can kick a field goal inside the Oregon Convention Center, plus memorabilia all over the place, panel discussions. If you love sports, the Oregon Convention Center is there for you. Get tickets now at worldsofsport.com and bring your dad. Give him the Father's Day gift that every dad wants, some activity with you and sports.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.